Pick up your book bags. Grab your notebooks. It's time to go on campus with Denton.
Give me my theme music.
Much better week here, Denton, than last week. Starts tonight. Tell us about Nebraska hosting Illinois.
Yeah, so this is the big one tonight. There's a couple ranked-on-ranked matchups that we will get to on Saturday as well. But this is the second week in a row we've had a ranked-on-ranked matchup. It's technically the second conference game in a row, although also technically last week was not a conference game between Kansas State and Arizona because it was scheduled before conference realignment had them in the same conference. However, you get Illinois, you get Nebraska. Nebraska, for me this year, Kevin, has been one of my favorite teams. I liked them, loved them, really, coming into the season. I had their over-under win total at 7.5. But this is going to be their first true test against Illinois. If there's one thing that Brett Bielema and his team has really focused on since he returned to coaching in the Big Ten with Illinois, they really love playing in the trenches. We love that, too. He gave us Johnny Newton here in D.C., right? So it's going to be really fun to see how Nebraska matches up against a team that's in their same weight class in the trenches. We saw what they did to Colorado a couple of weeks ago, but Colorado stinks on the offensive line. Illinois does not. Colorado stinks on the defensive line. Illinois does not. That's going to be the most fascinating aspect of this because we really haven't seen Dylan Raiola, who's been really good in the first three games as a true freshman, but we really haven't seen him get pushed to the brink the way that I think Illinois can push Nebraska to the brink tonight. So this should be a really, really fun one. Nebraska, big favorite, getting over a touchdown at 7.5. Total 42.5. Not expecting a lot of touchdowns tonight is the boys over in Las Vegas, but this should be a fun one.
Yeah, you'll have to wait for the smell test for this officially. I think Nebraska's better and maybe a lot better. The one game that Illinois had, which they won over Kansas a couple of Friday nights ago, they won 23-17. Kansas turned the ball over four times in that game. It was really a matter of Kansas self-destructing because Illinois could not run the football at all against Kansas. And I think I would argue that Nebraska's defense is better than Kansas's. Luke Altmyer wasn't super effective in that game. He had the kid number four, I forget his name, the receiver, who's pretty good for Illinois. But that was a weird game in which Illinois took advantage really of super short fields. I mean, they had a drive of 3 yards for three plays for minus. They had a pick six in that game too. They had a pick six in that game. They had turnovers. Kansas was going in a couple of times, turned it over. I think Nebraska tonight at home, we've seen what that crowd looks like in Lincoln. I think this is potentially a one-sided beatdown in this game. Wait for the smell test because it's a good chance Nebraska is going to be in it. But I think Nebraska is just flat out better. What do you think?
I think Nebraska is flat out better. This is also, I'm trying to find the exact date, but this is the first time in a long time that Nebraska has had a home game as a ranked team because they've been kind of not the butt of the joke like a Vanderbilt or Kansas was, but they have not been good for such a long time and they haven't been ranked. This is the first time they've been ranked in 10 years. So this is the first time in at least a decade that they've had a game as a ranked team at home. I think the environment is going to be rocking. I don't know that Illinois, I certainly don't trust their quarterback enough to be able to play massive in an environment like that. And we know how they get down in Lincoln with their football team. So I think Nebraska is going to win very handily tonight against Illinois. But
has
it's a big
Oklahoma
10.
Ever been an under, well, since, let's call it since Stoops got there, right, and totally resurrected the program, whatever year that was, have they been an underdog ever at home in Norman?
Obviously,
they've been an underdog on the road. They've been an underdog in the Red River, you know, shootout against Texas. Have they ever been a dog at home since Stoops?
I don't believe so. I don't believe so.
Night.
They are tomorrow night. That is the primetime matchup. We get blessed with a good game this weekend after the games, at least on paper last weekend, were pretty brutal in the primetime window. But this is the game that a lot of people are excited about. It's not my favorite game of the weekend. I'll tell you that one in a second. But number 6 Tennessee going on the road to number 15 Oklahoma. As you mentioned, Oklahoma is nearly a touchdown underdog to Tennessee. Tennessee got Nico Y. He is the NIL quarterback that rumored to get $8 million. I don't know that that's officially true, but he's getting paid, and he's getting paid well to be a quarterback at Tennessee. We've seen Tennessee look really good this year, but they've only played NC State. The other teams that Tennessee has taken on is Kent State, who they beat 71-0. They could have hung 150 on Kent State.
65 at halftime with 552 yards in the first half.
They could have hung.
Penn State's a 50-point favorite over Kent State, so clearly Kent State is as bad as it gets in Division I college football.
They are, but they're also swimming in the Scrooge McDuck money, getting back-to-back beatdowns that they're going to get. And then Tennessee played Chattanooga week one. So their average margin of victory right now is massive. It's 69-3, 51-10 against NC State. That was a neutral site game, but it was in Charlotte, so neutral site-ish, if you will. And then they beat Kent State at home. So this is their first test on the road, which I think will be a lot of fun. And I'm expecting a raucous environment in Norman as well. They don't get viewed necessarily the same way that like a Nebraska does, or certainly like an LSU does, or a Clemson or some of these other tough environments, but I do think it's going to be jumping at Memorial Stadium. This is going to be a fun one.
Yeah, you know, I think it's in part just because of the success. I kind of view Tuscaloosa in the same way. Like, Tuscaloosa to me is, I'm not going to say it's wine and cheese. Texas, Austin, I've been there for a game. It's wine and cheese crowd. It's not a raucous environment.
Right.
Michigan's not great. The Big House is massive, but the way the stadium's built, it just doesn't retain the sound.
It's built out, not up.
Exactly. LSU's ridiculous. It's the loudest. I think it's the loudest stadium I've ever been in. I've been to the Shoe. That's incredible at Ohio State. But I kind of view Oklahoma in the same way I view Alabama. They've had so much success. There's almost like this expectation. But this game may bring out that hunger. Like, they're an underdog. They're not supposed to win it. They're the lower-ranked team. I think a lot is kind of setting up for an interesting opportunity for Oklahoma. They've not been good offensively. That quarterback hasn't proven anything yet in the first few games. But defensively, Denton, they've been excellent. Really good.
They really have. And Oklahoma completely flips the script on how a lot of us view the SEC if they win. Because right now, Tennessee looks like they are the team that would push Georgia the most, them or Texas. But if they lose to Oklahoma, and Oklahoma looks really good in the process, I think a lot of people start looking at Oklahoma and saying, wait a second, we didn't think this team was going to be exceptional. But with a win like that, they could be one of the many SEC teams that get into the college football playoff.
I had one of my, and I'll talk more about this when we get to the smell test, because I'll just tell you, Oklahoma's going to be in it. But I had somebody text me yesterday to say, the biggest need on the board is Oklahoma, but really the biggest need on the board is for Tennessee not to win the game. Because apparently there's outrageous Tennessee money line action in this game. And I would imagine a lot of Tennessee teaser action as well. As you know, two teamers means all they got to do is win. Three teamers are getting points. Tennessee is a public darling right now. This is really a matchup: elite offense, elite explosive play offense against what appears to be an elite defense, although they haven't played anybody yet. And really, Tennessee hasn't either. If you're down on NC State, that NC State game, I think, proved NC State's not very good. I think, you know, they were ranked before the season started. That was a ranked matchup, right? Weren't both teams ranked in that one? I think they were. Can't wait for this one in Norman Saturday night. I think we're going to see a juiced-up building, like you said. All right, what else?
All right, so here's my favorite game of the weekend.
I know what it is. Utah-Oklahoma State.
It's Utah-Oklahoma State. This one is effectively a pick 'em. I mean, you can kind of look at different books, and you might get different numbers, but ESPN has it at 1. I'm scrolling through FanDuel right now, and FanDuel has it at just about the same. It's 1.5 in favor of Utah. This is going to be a hell of a game. Cam Rising right now is scheduled to play, which ups the ante for me a little bit in this one. I really love Oklahoma State. I really love Utah. You had Scott on earlier this week, and he made a really good point that Stanford State had made on their Saturday night podcast, that the Big 10 or the Big 12 is just wide. They're not like a deep conference. They're just wide because they have so many teams that can beat up on each other. This is going to be the first really showcase of that between two teams that have aspirations to be in that final dance where there's only 12 of them, and then potentially, you know, maybe square off again in the Big 12 championship for that deciding. So this could be the first of two between these two teams. And you're getting it at 4 p.m., kind of a weird time. You know, traditionally we get like a 3:30 kick.
It is a weird time.
But you're getting it at 4 p.m. It's the Fox game, so you're going to get Brock Huard and I think Jason Benetti. Love that booth. This is going to be a headbanger, I think. I think I'm leaning right now, Kevin, in the direction of Oklahoma State, but I'm excited. This is one that you got to have some popcorn around or some wings or something. Just sit down and enjoy it.
I really, I wish we could just help them as fans with the television lineup, because USC Michigan should have been the noon kickoff at Fox, followed by Utah Oklahoma State, instead of going at 3:30 in that same window. I'm glad Tennessee Oklahoma is at night as really the standalone great game at night. I think Whittingham has been and still is one of the top five college coaches in the country. If it's Zach Wilson's brother, I think his name's Isaac, quarterbacking,
right,
I like Oklahoma State. If it's a healthy Cam Rising quarterbacking, I like Utah. This is a huge game for Utah because their schedule the rest of the way is undefeatable looking. You know, they play Arizona and Arizona State. They play a game against Iowa State, I think, at home. They got nobody else. I mean, they play Colorado on the road. They play TCU. Houston's, you know, proven to be a pretty feisty team. But this is the game. If Utah wins this game, they're more likely than not going to be a playoff team. And not only a playoff team, they're going to be a top four seed playoff team. I think that's the stakes for Utah. If they lose, they're not out of it, because I think they could still run the table. But Oklahoma State obviously would be very much in it. And Oklahoma State has the same situation
their
too.
They play pretty nice too.
But they play K-State and Utah doesn't.
Right. Well, I will say for Utah, like, that final game of the year at UCF, we'll see what UCF is looking like by the time you get to late November, but they've looked pretty decent so far this year with a lot of explosive offense. They're 3-0.
Well, they would have at that point, though, even if you say they get to that game and somehow they got upset by UCF, they would have a chance the next week in the Big 12 title game.
Yes. To your point, if they do run the table and then lose in the Big 12 game, you'd probably get two Big 12 teams in there, because I think an undefeated regular season Utah would be ranked highly enough to where they get in as an at-large, whether they win the Big 12 or not. And then so if you had like a rematch between Oklahoma State or whoever it ends up being on the other side, Kansas State, whoever, then you could argue that you get two Big 12 teams in, where I think a lot of us, at least at the beginning of the season, just kind of looking at the broad picture, we're like, this is at best more likely than not a one bid league, thinking that there's going to be multiple Big Ten teams and multiple SEC teams in.
I think right now I would say K-State, Oklahoma State, Utah are the three teams with a legit chance. I know the league's wide. I know that, you know, there's some discussion about some of the Arizona teams and BYU. That's a big game, by the way, Saturday night, late Saturday night, K-State at BYU. Cincinnati's loss to Pitt was such a bad loss.
It was not good.
Because they were totally in control. But I just think Whittingham's as good as it gets. I hope Cam Rising is healthy. I hope he can stay healthy and play the rest of the year in his ninth year in college football. And if you got that, this might be the first of two matchups with Oklahoma State. Looking forward to it. All right, what else?
All right, the final big one is USC and Michigan. I have to be honest, of the ranked games, this is my least favorite. I'm scratching my head a little bit that USC is only a 4-point favorite, but then considering the fact that they're on the road, I'm going to guess that this is a game that's going to be in your smell test. I hate Michigan. I don't think they're very good. They made a change at quarterback, so Davis Warren's on the bench. It's going to be Alex Orji that's playing. I don't think he's very good. Somehow they have two quarterbacks and no quarterback at the same time. This is one of the games where it'll be on, definitely, but I can't say that I'm looking forward to it the way that I am Tennessee and Oklahoma, Utah, Oklahoma State, and then even Illinois and Nebraska tonight.
I want to ask you about one team specifically. Do you think Indiana's good?
I need to see them play somebody better. They had that really nice win against UCLA, but UCLA can't play offense. And we know why.
UCLA is the worst offensive team in America of the Power Fours, right?
Yeah, I'm can't
saying
imagine
that
why
is a fact.
That is it is a definitive fact. We know why it's a fact. You can blame, oh, it's a new head coach, but we know who runs the offense there. Wasn't good here. Not good in the college level either. Bieniemy is not a great offensive coordinator. He's just not.
Indiana's interesting so far because I don't think there wasn't much expected. Maryland, by the way, tomorrow has Villanova at home. I'll just say this based on what I've read about Villanova. Be careful. Maryland's a 17.5 point favorite, but that's not, you know, it's not necessarily a massive favorite in this kind of spot. And at Michigan State. Michigan State, by the way, has a very interesting game against Boston College this week, which will say a lot about Michigan State, I think. But Terps should beat Villanova, but I wouldn't be surprised if Villanova covers in this game. Villanova's 3-0 as well, but playing, you know, a much different schedule. Youngstown State, Colgate, and Towson at their level. But they've been pretty good defensively, and there's some people that believe Villanova can compete with the Terps tomorrow at noon in College Park. Plenty of tickets available. Go to umterps.org or umterps.com as well. You can hear the game on your home for Maryland football right here, noon kickoff, with Johnny and Steve Suter, with the pregame starting, I think, at 11:30 or 11, Denton?
Let me double check. I think it's 11:30.
11:30. Go Terps. All right, smell test next.
Can you smell it? It's time for the smell test.
Do you smell something?
We look where John Q. Public is putting their cash.
Trust me, you just gotta get past the smell.
And go the other way.
Can you feel it? Can you smell it?
Kevin's smell test on the Team 980.
All right, last week started poorly. I had Texas State on Thursday night. I went 0-3 on Saturday. And when we got to Sunday morning, I was like, oh, my God, this could be a bloodbath. But thankfully, the NFL has seen public bettors get absolutely mauled in the first 2 weeks of the season. I was 5-1-1 to get back to 500 on the week, 5-5-1. 15-15-1, dead even through 3 weeks of the smell test so far. And I'm going to keep hitting 16 against a 10 because that's what you do when you do things like this. You split eights against anything. We're doubling down on all 11s. And that means we're going to play some teams that you're going to be scratching your head over. Let's start in college football. Tonight, Nebraska is the anti-public side at home, laying 7.5. I'll buy the half point. I allowed myself to do that last year. Why? Because most of you do that, and you should do it when it's a crucial number. Illinois, and by the way, I'm a big fan of Brett Bielema. We were talking about Whittingham at Utah. I'm a big fan of Brett Bielema, too. I think he's a hell of a coach. He's a coach that coaches physical trenches football wherever he's been. He's actually in the perfect spot coaching in the Big Ten. But their results so far, and I pointed out the Kansas result, they got 4 turnovers in that game and still barely beat Kansas. I think Nebraska's defense is awesome. I think the freshman quarterback will keep getting better. Lincoln will be hopping tonight, 8 o'clock, Fox, national TV game. I like a favorite here in the smell test, Nebraska laying 7 to kick things off. Let's go to tomorrow, where Army is the biggest public play on the board tomorrow. They are laying 7 against Rice. Why? Well, because Rice is terrible. They got beat by Houston last week, 33-7. They got beat in their opener by Sam Houston by 20. They did beat Texas Southern big. But Army has started off the season 2-0 with an impressive win last week over Florida Atlantic. Army is laying 7. I'll take Rice plus the 7 points. Denton, talk me out of the next one. Please talk me out of the next one. Florida is somehow a 6-point favorite over Mississippi State. I know Mississippi State isn't very good, but Florida at this point shouldn't be favored over anybody. I can't stand the quarterback. I can't stand the coach right now. Billy Napier's probably going to get fired if they lose this game. The public's lined up on Mississippi State because they think Florida stinks and shouldn't be favored over anybody. So I guess I'll take Florida laying the 6. You didn't attempt to talk me out of it yet.
Trust in DJ Lagway. I don't think it's going to be Graham Mertz anymore, so that quarterback that you don't like is gone, and the new 5-star guy is in. So trust in DJ Lagway.
All right. Temple tomorrow is getting 6.5. I'm going to buy it to 7 at home against Utah State. Temple's been pretty bad this year. They got blown out by Oklahoma. They got blown out by Navy. They got blown out by Coastal Carolina. Their average marginal loss is 24 points. Utah State was actually in the game against Utah last week, but they've gone USC and Utah back-to-back weeks. They're on the road in what will be kind of a sterile environment tomorrow. Temple's a major anti-public favorite. Underdog, excuse me. I'll take Temple, bad team, at home, buying the 0.5 plus 7 against Utah State. I think you should try to talk me out of this one, too, because it really reeks of the Texas pick that I had 2 weeks ago when I loved Texas. I'm sorry, when I loved Michigan against Texas in the Big House. Well, that line was 7 that week. USC's laying 5 against Michigan in the Big House, and nobody thinks Michigan's very good. By the way, I don't think they're very good. But this will be one of the biggest needs on the board for every sports book in the country. Give me Michigan plus the 5 points. Oklahoma, we move to Saturday night, where Oklahoma right now is a massive anti-public home dog against Tennessee. Tennessee's become a public darling. And as I mentioned, I had somebody text me last night to say that Tennessee, they'll need Oklahoma to win outright as much as they'll need Oklahoma to win plus the points. Give me Oklahoma plus the 7 at home against Tennessee. A ton of sharp money on the Sooners at home. People are playing against Deion. They played against Deion last week. You know, Colorado State was actually the public play against Colorado. This week, Baylor's the public play against Colorado, who is favored at home over Baylor, laying 1.5 Saturday night. I'm going to bet Colorado laying 1.5. And then this one, hold on to, because they were the right side last week. I did not give them out, but I almost gave Purdue out last week against Notre Dame, getting 7. They lost 66-7 in that game. This week, they're at Oregon State, who lost to Oregon last week, but they are 2-1 on the season. And Oregon State's laying just 3.5. I'll take Purdue plus the 3.5 to bounce back on the road against Oregon State. Those are the college games. Let's move to Sunday, where Sunday's board looks a lot like it did last week. There's some games that just reek, and let's start in the 1 o'clock window, where Tampa Bay, who's coming off, you know, an upset win as an 8-point underdog in Detroit, is laying just 6.5 against a Denver team that got beat and could barely score against Pittsburgh last week. I will buy the 0.5 and take the Broncos plus 7 at Tampa. Most of you, I'm sure, would think that I would have Philadelphia this week because New Orleans is the biggest public play right now on the board. But there is a lot of sharp money on New Orleans as well. That line's gone from Philly minus 1.5 to New Orleans minus 2.5. I am staying off the game completely. The Giants are getting 6.5. I'm going to buy that to 7 at Cleveland. Cleveland's a big public play this weekend, as are the Indianapolis Colts for some reason. But I think it's the anti-Caleb Williams vibe right now. They're laying a point at home to Chicago. I'll take the Bears plus the one. And then Vegas, recent memory, upset win over Baltimore on the road. Carolina, recent memory, another blowout loss. They benched their quarterback. The Raiders are 6-point favorites. The world's on Vegas. Give me the Panthers plus the six in that game. We go to Sunday night, where I wanted to give out Atlanta on Monday night, as most of you know that listened last week. And I said, well, wait until Monday. And then once A.J. Brown got injured, the line went down to 5, 5.5. So it was a bad number. I gave a strong lean to Atlanta on Monday night, but I didn't give them out officially. Well, the public loves Kansas City Sunday night in Atlanta against the Falcons. I'll take the Falcons. There's a lot of sharp money on Atlanta. That line was 4.5 earlier in the week, Denton, down to 3. Right now. Monday night, two plays. I'm going to give them out now. Jacksonville plus 5 at Buffalo and Washington plus the 8 at Cincinnati. Both Washington and Jacksonville are anti-public sides, and also there's sharp money on both of those teams. So, recapping the smell test for this week. Nebraska minus 7 tonight. Buying the half point, you can find some sevens out there right now. Bunch of 7.5s as well. Minus 7. Temple plus 7 against Utah State. Michigan plus 5 against USC. Rice plus 7 against Army. Oklahoma plus 7 against Tennessee. Colorado minus 1.5 against Baylor. And Purdue plus 3.5 against Oregon State. Sunday, the Broncos plus 7 against the Bucks, the Giants plus 7 at Cleveland, the Bears plus 1 against Indy, the Panthers plus 6 against the Raiders. And then we've got the Falcons plus 3 Sunday night against the Chiefs, and both Monday night games, Jacksonville plus 5 at Buffalo and Washington plus the 8 at Cincinnati. No favorites in the NFL at all. Is this the weekend that the public starts to win in the NFL? Maybe. But I'm playing the sides that, the way I handicap, are the correct sides. We'll see. Denton will post these on the team980.com after the show. We'll finish up by going through every NFL game Sunday, giving you a hunch with the spread, and talking about some of the keys in these games. Some of these games super important, especially for the 0-2 teams. That's next. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the team980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.
Historic night last night in Major League Baseball. Shohei Ohtani became the first player in history to have a 50 home run, 50 stolen base season. He also became the first player to have 3 homers and 2 stolen bases in the same game. He went 6 of 6 for 3 homers, 2 doubles, and 2 stolen bases. It's one of the greatest offensive games in Major League history. His Dodgers also officially clinched a playoff spot with a 20-4 victory. Not so great for the Nats last night. They lose to Chicago 7-6. Patrick Corbin 4 1/3 innings. One of the final times you'll see him on the mound in the Curly W. James Wood had he was 1-2 for an RBI. In the NBA, Joel Embiid gets a new 3-year, $192 million extension with the Philadelphia 76ers. Last night, Thursday Night Football, Jets easily handle the Patriots. Aaron Rodgers goes 27-35 for 281 and 2 touchdowns in New York's 24-3 win over their AFC East rival. And that's what's trending.
All right, we've got a good NFL weekend coming up. We get several big 1 o'clock games, late afternoon games, a good Sunday night game, and 2 Monday night games, where I think more than anything else, the storyline heading into this week three in the NFL, the Jets getting the first win of the season, is like, can Cincinnati and Baltimore in particular win games to keep them from falling to 0-3? But at the same time, Baltimore's got a game against the Cowboys where they don't want to fall to 1-2. But there's some good matchups. Denton, take it away. Lead us through the 1 o'clock. The 1 o'clock window.
All right, so we'll roll through these ones pretty quickly. We've got about 18 minutes here. We'll start with the Giants and the Browns. New York going on the road. They're still winless. Obviously, they lost here last week. The Browns picked up their first win of the season last week with more of a defensive effort against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Cleveland, a 6.5-point favorite in this one.
Yeah, I gave out the Giants as a smell test pick, so I like something in the range of 17, 13, 16 to 10, something like that. The Browns have struggled to score. The total in this game is 38.5. Yeah, I think it's the lowest total, although actually I think Chargers-Steelers might be the lowest total this week. I was looking at this the other day. But look, the Giants played a bad defensive team, we think, in week two, and they're going to play one of the best defensive teams on Sunday. The Browns, however, have played back-to-back games against teams that may not be that great defensively. I don't think they're going to be great defensively in Jacksonville. And I think the Giants are decent talent-wise defensively. This is just going to be an ugly game. I like the Giants to cover the number in a very low-scoring affair. What do you think?
I think the Giants are going to cover, but I do think Cleveland wins. Surprisingly, this is not the lowest total of the week. It's not even the second lowest total of the week.
Steelers game is the lowest, right?
That is. That's 35 and a hook, and the second lowest is the next game that we're going to talk about. It's a revenge game, Kevin, for Malik Willis, maybe. Because there are some reports suggesting that there's a potential that Jordan Love plays. But the Packers on the road against the Titans, that is Malik Willis's former team. If it is Malik Willis and Will Levis, that total number is probably going to drop a little bit. Malik Willis actually played all right last week for Green Bay, but they didn't ask him to do a lot. It was instead the Josh Jacobs game. So right now Tennessee is a 3-point favorite at home at Nissan Stadium. They're 0-2, the Packers sitting at 1-1.
I saw an interview with Malik Willis this week. Kudos to him. He was asked about this revenge aspect against the team that drafted him and then traded him. All he wanted to talk about was the incredible opportunity that Tennessee gave him and how grateful he was for it. Thought he was just really classy in his answer. Kind of rooting for him now. He was 12 of 14 last week. They didn't have to do much last week to beat the Colts. The Colts pretty much self-inflicted loss. They had three turnovers in the game, and Green Bay didn't have to score much. They scored 16 points in the game. Will Levis is terrible so far. I mean, we see narratives, you know, hardcore, you know, definitive narratives change on quarterbacks. Geno Smith, Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield would be examples of that. Bryce Young, certainly one of those guys, but I just didn't like him coming out of Kentucky. I don't know. I don't have a strong feel for this game one way or the other. The number's 3. I see it probably being a 3-point game one way or the other. I'll go with the Packers and their run game and their defense, 20-17.
I like the Packers in this one, too. So you also like the under in that. I think there'll be a little bit more offense. I'm going to go 21-16, but I like the Packers.
The Titans can run the football. You know,
so can the Packers. Yeah.
Yeah. And they both can run the football, which might make for a shorter game. All right. Next.
All right. How about the Bears and the Colts? The Bears traveling to Indianapolis this after the Sunday night football loss, where Caleb Williams might have gotten little brothered by C.J. Stroud. Is he going to get little brothered by Anthony Richardson? The Colts right now are winless at 0-2, but they are 1-point favorites over Chicago.
I don't think Anthony Richardson is going to, you know, meet him at midfield if they beat him and offer up some advice. I think the Bears have a lot of talent on the team. It's right now the O-line and quarterback in particular that are a problem. With that said, Anthony Richardson, while so physically gifted, he's just still so raw. You see, I didn't watch the Green Bay game last week that they lost, but the highlights, when you watch him, he's confused a lot. And then when he isn't confused, he's not accurate on medium to short, even short passes. Jonathan Taylor's special. I like their receivers. I like Pittman Jr. I like Alec Pierce. You know, I like the big tight end, Mo Alley Cox. Indy should be decent this year, but they're going to be working through a quarterback situation here. He's got so much physical talent, but he didn't play that much college football, and he's got a ways to go. I'm going to make a prediction here. I think Anthony Richardson is going to get pulled either by injury or by a coach choice at some point in the next few weeks for Joe Flacco, because they're not going to want to see this season slip away. They have too much talent on both sides of the ball to be a four-win team this year. Don't be surprised if that happens. I think they fall to 0-3. I think the Bears win this game.
Mo Alley Cox, by the way, one of the great local stories of NFL players. Played basketball at Middleburg, didn't even play football until he got to the NFL. I like the Bears in this one as well. How about, this is one of the shorter lines of the week, Kevin, but it kind of follows along the lines of a guy you've been very complimentary of, shall we say. Texans on the road against the Vikings at U.S. Bank Stadium in Minnesota. The Texans are 2-0, as are the Vikings. Houston only a 2-point favorite. I think most people would have expected them to be a much longer favorite based on the talent, but I think there's something about the Vikings that has Vegas kind of got their ears perked up a little bit.
Yeah, I think it's their defense. The defense under Brian Flores has been lights out in these first two games, and Sam Darnold's made some plays, period. Because it's an offense that fits him. Now, is Justin Jefferson going to play or not?
I haven't seen anything definitive. I would assume based on that line, the answer is yes, that he is going to play.
So I think the Vikings have, I think the line's actually right. I would have expected Houston to be a very, very short favorite, if not sort of a pick'em game. The Vikings have been dominant defensively, Denton. Brian Flores is one hell of a coordinator. And, you know, with all the money they didn't spend on Kirk, they went out and added a lot of pieces for what they didn't spend on him. You know, Van Ginkle's on that defense. Greenard's on that defense now. And they shut San Francisco down for the most part. And what's really important in what they did, they turned them over, you know, a couple of times. And so Minnesota's opportunistic. They were against the Giants. They were against the 49ers. I think the Vikings get to 3-0 this week with an excellent 24-23 type of game.
You and I are on different sides of this round. Big test for Stroud. I think he passes the test. I think Houston gets it done. And I do think they cover. I think they win by 3 on the road against Minnesota. How about a must-win potential for Philadelphia? They're on the road against New Orleans at the Caesars Superdome. New Orleans, a 2.5-point favorite. We feel good about New Orleans, but we also don't fully know what New Orleans is. But they put up a lot of offense so far. Do you like New Orleans to jump to 3-0 against the Philadelphia Eagles?
So I think this is such a fascinating game, because what is New Orleans? I mean, they went to Dallas. That's obviously an eye-opening win, because the Carolina game, everybody just chalked it up to Carolina being awful. But let me just tell you, when you score 47 points in the NFL and most of them come in the first half, and then you score 44 the next week and most of them come in the first half, you better perk up and pay attention, even though it's only 2 weeks in. They have a very good offensive line, the Saints do, and they have Alvin Kamara, Chris Olave, and if you make it easy for Derek Carr and you only make him throw 16 times in a game, he can be effective that way. Here's the matchup in this game. The Saints offensive line against the Eagles front seven. The Eagles gave up a lot of yards on the ground to Bijan Robinson and Tyler Algier the other night. They got no pass rush pressure on Kirk. In the opener, Josh Jacobs ran for a bunch of yards. Right now, Philadelphia's defense is a problem. I didn't give out Philly because there's so much sharp money on the Saints. I like the Saints to continue it rolling here, even though I think Philly's better than they were last year. But I'm going to go Saints 31, Philadelphia 21.
I think I like Philly in this one. I think I like Philly in this one to squeeze and steal a win out. I'm going to go 28-27. Philadelphia gets to 2-1. All right, we got to go a little quicker here because we still got like 8 games left. How about the Broncos and the Bucks? Tampa Bay right now 6.5-point favorites at home against the winless Broncos.
Look, this is the one of the biggest public plays on the board, the Buccaneers on Sunday. So I like the Broncos buying the half point to get them to +7. How do they do it? They do it because the Bucs are exhausted after a knockdown drag out at Detroit. They are banged up. They're coming back home. It's an early start. This is an NFL kind of trap setup game. This thing is close. Tampa prevails, but in a close game, 19-17.
I like Tampa as well. I kind of think they cover, though. I think this could be a bloodbath, to be completely honest. How about the Chargers and the Steelers? This is a game that might have no offense, but could be over in 2 hours if Jim Harbaugh has his way. The Chargers 2-0, as are the Steelers. We know the Chargers love to run the football, and the Steelers kind of do, too, because Justin Fields isn't throwing it around the yard, but he's still a massive playmaker.
I like the Steelers. I think that they're actually different than they've been the last couple of years. I think they've got playmaking ability, and I think they're excited about Justin Fields and his, you know, ability to play off schedule, his ability to move the sticks with his legs. And he's got some trust here early in the season in Pickens. I like the Steelers at home against the Chargers in a really good football game that ends up with more points than you think. I'll go Steelers 23, Chargers 21.
I like the Chargers. I really like J.K. Dobbins. This is also why they drafted Joe Alt. You got T.J. Watt. Well, is he going to go right side, left side? On one side, you got Joe Alt. On the other side, you got Rashawn Slater. If there's anyone that's going to have success against T.J. Watt, it's probably one of those two guys. All right, into the 405 window we go. The Panthers, 0-2, but with Andy Dalton on the road to take on the Raiders. The Raiders are 6-point favorites at Allegiant Stadium to jump to 2-1.
Yeah, and the world is on the Raiders laying less than a touchdown against the Panthers. Recent impressions matter. It doesn't even really, people don't even pay attention to the big changes, but it is a big change, Andy Dalton in there. He's a professional quarterback. I like the Panthers to keep this close and actually pull off the absolute stunner of the day. The Panthers over the Raiders, 27-24.
I still like the Raiders, but I do think the Panthers cover. I think it'll be a close one, but I think Gardner Minshew finds Davante Adams for the go-ahead touchdown. How about at Seattle, the Dolphins, the Skylar Thompson-led Dolphins. No Tua for at least the next 4 weeks on the road against Seattle. Seattle's right now very quietly 2-0, and they're 4.5-point favorites to get to 3-0.
Yeah, I kind of like Miami to keep this close. I got something like 24-20. Seattle. I think the Dolphins still have a lot of playmaking ability. Skylar Thompson has played before, including in a playoff game a few years ago against Buffalo. What do we know about Seattle after wins over Denver and New England? Not enough yet. I'm going to go with Miami, definitely keeping this close, covering, having a legit chance to win. But I'll say at home at Lumen Field, Seattle, 24-20.
I like Miami outright here. What we know about Seattle.
I kind of like them outright, too. I'm going to flip that around. Miami 24, Seattle 20.
What we know about Seattle is they play way too close to teams that they should be way better than. That's what we've learned through the first 2 weeks. All right, here's.
I'm changing my mind. Hill, Waddle, the backs, they have a big day, and Miami defensively turns Geno Smith over, and they win 24-20. Ravens-Cowboys.
Yep, here's the big one. Ravens-Cowboys. Ravens, 1-point favorites on the road. They're 0-2, looking for their first win against Dallas.
I'll tell you what, man. Dallas can't get run on. You know, if they get run on like they did last week, they gave up a buck 90, 5 yards a carry, 6 yards a carry to Kamara. This is going to be a long day. I don't know what's up with Dallas's defense. The last two home games, 48 points, 44 points, two different coordinators. I don't have a good feel for this.
I like Baltimore. I've been saying it all year. I don't think Dallas is going to be all that good this year, despite all that preseason hype. I think Baltimore wins.
All right, I'm going to go against you. I'm going to go Dallas somehow prevails in a really good late afternoon overtime thriller, 29-26 in overtime.
All right, rapid fire round. I want one sentence on each of these final three games. You get Niners, Rams. The Niners right now, 6.5-point favorites over the 0-2 Rams in SoFi Stadium.
The 49ers are so both teams are so banged up. I mean, every major star you can think about isn't playing this game. I like the 49ers probably by the number, you know, something like 26-20.
I like the Niners, too. I feel bad for Stafford, but it is what it is. How about the Lions and the Cardinals? Detroit, a three-point favorite on the road, but the Cardinals have looked pretty good offensively, especially last week.
Arizona has looked great offensively. Defensively, they're not very good. I like the Lions to go on the road and get this win in a high-scoring game, something like 34-28.
All right, how about this generation's GOAT versus you-know-who? Sunday Night Football, Chiefs in Atlanta at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. The Falcons coming off that big Monday night win. Chiefs getting three, laying three on the road. Who do you like?
Kirk on a roll in prime time. I think he's won five out of his last six. They were so close, Minnesota was, last year against the Chiefs. Madison dropped a touchdown pass. I'm just going to say this hits... No, Atlanta wins this game. wins this game 20-17.
I'm going to say 24-17. I think the Chiefs get it done, but I think Kirk looks really good in prime time.
We'll save the Monday night picks for Monday. We're out. Enjoy the football this weekend. Chris Russell's next.